Well, I mentioned last week that Brother Joe Judkins is working as our discipleship pastor, and we have a chance to hear Brother Joe speak this morning, and so I'm looking forward to it. I know you will be, and I know you're going to be blessed by what Brother Joe Judkins has to say this morning. And so, Brother Joe, come right on. Where are you? There you are, right there. I knew you were here somewhere. All right, let's pray for Brother Joe.
Good morning, saints. And to you who are not saints but will be soon, I pray that this presentation I'm going to present will really be a blessing to you. To give you a little background on it, in 2002, I went to college to study computers, and I wanted to become Microsoft Office certified. Well, the students were in the student lounge waiting for a class to start one morning. And just chit-chat conversations, and one girl spoke and said that something about the Bible and Jesus. And I think I was the second oldest fella there going back to college. And so a young fella who had been in the Army said that the Bible is a fairy tale. And I went, nothing came out of my mouth. You know, Paul tells us to be ready to give a response. And so I prayed to the Lord, Lord, give me what I need to respond. And so this presentation is from that experience. There is a website titled adherence.com. And they have recorded over 4,200 different religious beliefs in the world. And so I'm going to present 22 world beliefs this morning, just a snippet to give you an idea of what mankind has come up with over the past centuries and centuries and centuries. Number one, Baha'i. This theology is fairly new, and it was founded in the 1800s. And its founder is claimed to be in the same category as Abraham and Moses and Buddha and Zoroaster and Jesus Christ and Muhammad. And they believe they must unify the world as one civilization. And although independent, Baha'i grew out of Islam. Now, the United Nations uses Baha'i ministers to pray, because they consider all religions on the same scale. Number two, Buddhism. This theology is around 2,600 years old, and they teach four noble truths: that life has suffering, desire and greed lead to suffering, cessation of cravings and desire relinquishes sufferings. Number four, handle issues from a middle-of-the-road perspective. And they teach an eightfold plan, and that is right understanding, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. And they have five precepts: do not harm, steal, take more than needed, do not lie, and do not act thoughtlessly. Deism, followers, is thought to be around 10,000 years old. Now, the two individuals centered in this religion is a brother and sister. And they created, number one, procreation; two, agriculture; three, civilization; four, medicine; five, writings; and six, astrology. And this religion was formally established around 2,000 years ago, being 10,000 years old, but established about 2,000 years ago. And they believe that life can be extended by meditation and exercise. Hinduism. Now, this theology began 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, before the appearance of Jesus Christ. And it said that a group of people left an area where Iran is now located, and they went to northern India, and that's where Hinduism began. They believe the soul in one's body desires freedom from suffering and to be released from reincarnation. And this can happen through spiritual discipline. In Hinduism, everything is God and God is everything. Now, Hindu can incorporate other religious beliefs and still remain Hindu. However, they cannot incorporate Christianity or Islam. Now, they have, I think the last count was over 33 million gods in Hinduism, because they believe God is in everything because he created everything. Number five, Jainism. Now, this theology began hundreds of years before the physical appearance of Jesus Christ. And they believe the soul is indestructible, that greed and hatred keeps the soul reincarnating again and again and again. To receive advancement in their spiritual life, they have five vows. Nonviolence, which led to vegetarianism. Truthfulness, no stealing, chastity, and detachment from worldly pleasures. Number six, Shintoism. This theology began about 550 years after the physical appearance of Jesus Christ. They believe in harmony with nature between humans and the natural world. They strive to end reincarnation to gain unity with God. Number seven, Zoroastrianism. Now, this theology started before the physical appearance of Jesus Christ, and they believe in the holy, wise, good, and just God, and that he is in conflict with his counterpart, evil. And they believe that God needs people to help him to restore harmony into the world. Some people believe that the wise men who went to visit the baby Jesus are of the Zoroastrianism belief, because these men were very learned, and it is thought that they had the Old Testament scrolls, and they studied them, and the Star of David, and that they were the wise men who found Jesus. Very educated men. Now, number eight, Scientology. This was founded in the 1950s by a science fiction writer, L. Ron Hubbard. Now, he made this statement. He said, the best way to make $1 million is to start your own religion. Number nine, the Jedi religion. That's right. You got it. This is the Star Wars religious theology, founded not too many years ago. And they have their own hierarchy within their church organization. And over in Europe, it is said that thousands and thousands of people left the Christian church and went over to the Jedi religion. And on official paperwork, where you know where you would write in there, what is your religious belief, they would write Jedi. Number 10, The Secret. You remember The Secret a few years ago? I don't think this is a religious belief, but I'm including it as a belief. And when I read the material on The Secret, it suggested to me selfism. So you put into your mind what you want, and then it appears like a job promotion or a car or a house or a boat or something other like that. Number 11, atheism. This is a principle belief that there is no God, no Jesus, no Holy Spirit, no deity of any kind. And they work actively to expunge God from society. Now, atheists say that they are not a religion, but the definition of religion is a belief system. And so they do have a belief system that they follow, trying to eliminate God from society. Number 12, Satanism or devil worship. Now, this theology is the worship and practice of that which is less than Jesus Christ. The devil tried to tempt Jesus, but it didn't work. Jesus commanded the devils to leave, and they left. The devils are under the command of Jesus, and yet there are devil worshipers. So my question is, why would anybody want to worship that which is less than Jesus Christ? Number 13, Wicca. Interesting. Wicca theology is a earth-based religion, recognizing their own goddess and their own father God. And they have, they're open to sexual freedom as long as it does not harm anyone. They do not believe in heaven or hell, but they do believe in reincarnation. They do not have a primary religious writing. And there are some people who call them Christian Wiccas. Have you ever heard that? Christian Wiccas? Well, let's look at these two words for a moment. The word Christian is of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that once you are a believer in him, that you are no longer of the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Okay? Now, Wicca is an earthbound religion. And so it is of the world. So the word Christian cancels out the word Wicca. So that if someone says, I'm a Christian Wicca, they're saying, I'm a nothing. Next is number 14, Islam. Islam theology uses parts of the Bible, but they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that Jesus is not in the flesh as God. They believe he's a prophet. Islam is a young religion of about 1,400 years, and Islamic believers insist that their belief system must be the world's belief system. And they demand obedience to their religious writings, or either people will face brutal beatings or they will be killed. They do not recognize love. Get that now. Islam does not recognize love in their religious belief. And they suggest that salvation is only through their religion. Number 15, deism. This theology began around 1621. And it is a religion that believes in human reasoning to determine outcome. And they believe in a supreme being, but after he created the universe, he stepped aside. And he is observing how mankind, womankind, and teenagers are interacting with nature. They do not believe God intervenes into worldly affairs. They reject prophecy and miracles. Number 16, universalism. I think all of us have heard of this one lately. It's not too old. And the universalism theology is fairly new. And the individuals say that people, regardless of who they are, what they say, what they do, or how they believe, would become saved and go to heaven. There are some noted celebrities who are great believers in universalism. Number 17, Mormonism. Mormonism theology began around 1830, and Mormonism has added alongside of the Holy Bible their own writings, which are the Book of Mormons, Doctrine and Covenants, Journal of Discourses, the Pearl of Great Price, and other writings. And Mormonism say that the president of the Mormon Church, and they have presidents as time goes on, but their presidents are authoritative in their writings and their speakings. And they have so many writings. If they're all in book form, I don't know if they'd all fit in this church or not. They just keep writing and writing and writing, and they're all authoritative. Now, when I studied Mormonism, and I got to one part of it that really bothered me greatly, because they say that God came from heaven and had sex with Mary, and then God gave Mary to Joseph to be his wife, and then God went back to heaven. That one really bothers me. Number 18, Jehovah Witness. The Jehovah Witness theology began in the 1870s by Mr. Russell, and their name was adopted in 1931. And they have their own Bible, which is the New World Translation. I want to give you a verse out of the King James and out of theirs. Now, the King James Version, our version, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God, okay? In their translation, they say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. So they don't accept that Jesus Christ is God, but that he is a God. Number 19, Judaism. All the authors of the Holy Bible are of the Jewish bloodline. And they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God or the Messiah. Judaism believes that Creator God and Jesus as a prophet to God. Now, there is a movement of Messianic Jews who hold on to Judaism beliefs, but they do accept that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Now, when you talk to Jewish people, you don't say Jesus. You say the Messiah. That's who they're looking for, the Messiah, Yeshua. Now, number 20, Catholicism. The Catholic theology has a three-part recognition. Part one recognizes and honors the mother of Jesus, Mary. And one part recognizes and honors Jesus Christ. And one part recognizes and honors the Pope. Now, their theology suggests that the members should be good practicing Catholics in accordance with what the Catholic Church says. The Pope is their authority, not the Holy Bible. Now, they address their Pope as Holy Father. I have not found that in the Bible where another human being is to be addressed as Holy Father. They suggest that salvation is only through their theology. Number 21, Orthodox. Now, the Orthodox Church broke away from Catholicism in 1054 A.D. They broke away saying that the Holy Bible is the authority upon the earth and not the Pope. And their church collectively makes church decisions. For an example, there is the Orthodox Church of USA, Orthodox Church of Spain, Orthodox Church of France, Orthodox Church of Paraguay, all of them. They make church decisions collectively. And if you go into an Orthodox church on a Sunday for service, the routine of the service is the same at all the churches around the world. May not be the same word spoken, but the pattern, the routine, is always the same. And number 22, Protestantism. Now, this theology separated from the Catholic Church in the 1500s. And they testify that salvation is through God's grace, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, and salvation is not by works. And they say salvation can only happen in accordance the way the Holy Bible says that salvation can happen. There are different left and right beliefs of the Protestant religion, sects of Protestantism, but Protestantism accepts that the Holy Bible is, all Protestantism accepts the Holy Bible, but people have different spins, I guess if you want to say it, on the way the Bible is to be interpreted. Now, Protestantism really got its hold in the 1450s when Mr. Johannes Gutenberg invented his Gutenberg Press. And he started mass producing the Bible. The Catholic Church did not like this. Today there are maybe 47 or 48 Gutenberg Bibles remaining. Of those, 21 are pristine. And it's estimated that if one of those Bibles was put on the open market for bid, that it could possibly bring somewhere between $25 to $35 million. I'm glad I didn't have to pay that much money for my Word of God. But now I will give you that it is a collector's item. But I truly believe that the Lord God Almighty raised up Mr. Gutenberg with the invention of his press in order to mass produce the Bible, so that the Word of God could get in the hands of everybody around the world. Amen. Yes. Now, I'm going to switch gears just a little bit. We're going to get into some prophecy. This is really the interesting part for me. There are two players I want to call your attention to. One of them is Dr. J. Barton Payne. He was a professor at the Dallas Theological Seminary, And I think it was in 71 or 72, he took a leave of absence and wrote his book, The Encyclopedia of Biblical Prophecy. 754 pages, published in 73 by Baker Publishing. Now, he discovered 1,817 prophecies in the Bible. I've got that book. I've been through that book. It is not an easy read. Most people would just throw it to the side. It's difficult to stay focused on it. The other person I'd like to call your attention to is Dr. Hugh Ross, Ph.D. He is a recognized Christian astronomer. And he gives God all honor, glory, and praise, and he tries to bring other scientists into realizing that this universe was created by God and not a Big Bang. He wrote an article, and there were some research scientists who took 13 prophecies, and they developed a mathematical formula to determine what is the probability of this prophecy happening. And they wrote them in exponents. You know, an exponent is like 10 to the third power, 10 to the fourth power, whatever. Okay. They wrote them in exponents. And so I'm going to go through these 13 prophecies and give you their results. Secular research scientists did this, okay? That's an important part to remember. The first prophecy, that fertile Edom would become a wasteland, and it still is today. So they gave this prophecy a 1 in 10 to the 5th power of ever happening. Now, it's still a wasteland. So 1 to the 5th power, 1 to 10 to the 5th power is 100,000. So that means that they gave that prophecy 1 in 100,000 possibilities of happening, and it's still effective to this day. All right, number two, 700 years in advance, Bethlehem was prophesied as the birthplace of the Messiah, Christ Jesus. They gave this prophecy 1 in 10 to the 5th power, or 1 in 100,000th chances to happen. And then number three, 500 years in advance, the coming of the long-awaited Messiah, Jesus Christ. They gave this prophecy a 1 chance in 10 to the 5th power, or 1 in a 100,000th chance of happening. Number four, 500 years in advance, prophesied the reconstruction of Jericho by one man. They gave this prophecy 1 in 10 to the 7th power, or 1 chance in 10 million that this prophecy would occur. And, of course, Bible does tell us that it happened. Number five, Jehoshaphat wins the battle without having to fight. The battle is not yours, but God's. And so they gave this prophecy a 1 in 10 to the 8th power of a chance. So this prophecy had a 1 in 100 millionth of a chance to occur. And it did. Number six, prophesied that Elijah would depart from the earth alive, watched by 50 men. And so they gave this prophecy 1 chance in 10 to the 9th power, or in other words, they gave this prophecy 1 in 1 billionth of a chance to happen. And Scripture records it later on that it happened in 2 Kings. Number seven, indestructible Babylon doomed and never to be inhabited in the future. They gave this prophecy 1 in 10 to the 9th power, which means 1 chance in a billion that this prophecy would occur. And number eight, 500 years in advance, 30 pieces of silver was prophesied as the amount of money to betray Jesus. 500 years in advance. They gave this prophecy 1 chance in 10 to the 11th power. And in other words, that means 1 chance in 1 trillion 100 billion chances of that prophecy happening. And of course, it's recorded in the New Testament. Number nine, 300 years in advance, prophesied the burning of the bones. And they gave this one a 1 in 10 to the 13th power. And this is in Kings. It would make a good two-part sermon in 1 Kings and in 2 Kings. And they gave this 1 in 10 to the 13th power, which is one chance in 10 trillion that this prophecy would occur. And number 10, 400 years in advance of the invention of crucifixion, prophesied that Jesus Christ would be crucified on the cross and none of his bones were to be broken. They gave this prophecy 1 chance in 10 to the 13th power, which means 1 chance in 10 trillion that this prophecy would happen. Number 11, 150 years before the birth of a man named Cyrus, who would conquer the known world and freely release the Jewish people. They gave this prophecy 1 chance in 10 to the 15th power, or 1 chance in 1 quadrillion, 1 quadrillion of a chance of this prophecy happening. 10 to the 15th power means 1 in 15 zeros. Number 12, 2,600 years in advance prophesied the rebirth of the Jewish nation, which happened in 1948. And this has never occurred with a defunct country. None of them have ever been reborn again but the Jewish nation. So they gave this prophecy 1 chance in 10 to the 18th power. And so this is 1 chance in 1 quintillion, a 1 in 18 zeros of a chance of happening. And then number 13, 3,500 years in advance prophesied that the scattered Jewish people would become reunited. That prophecy is going on right now, folks. Jewish people are going back to Israel because they know something big is getting ready to happen. They gave this prophecy 1 chance in 10 to the 20th power, and that is 1 in 100 quintillion of a chance of that prophecy happening. And we're witnessing that right now. These prophecies are absolutely amazing that they have actually come true. What is the oldest religion in the world? Did you know that it is Christianity? Jesus may not have come in the flesh until 2,000 years ago, but Jesus existed from the very beginning. Christianity was already in the making in the beginning of time. And John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Now, the Jewish people were back 2,000 years ago, they were looking for Jesus to come as a warrior, as a king, to sit on the throne of David and conquer their enemies. That's what they're waiting for. They're still waiting for that. They did not visualize that Jesus would come as the lamb, as a sacrificial lamb. Is there a principle that we can apply that salvation is of faith and not of works? So let's look at this for a moment. Jesus came as a lamb, was crucified for the sins of the world. The Jewish people don't accept that. Their king would not be like that. If Jesus did come 2,000 years ago as a warrior and conquered the Jewish nation's enemies and sat on the throne and he was salvation, then that would mean that each one of us today would have to fly over to Jerusalem to appear before the queen, before the king, in order to receive salvation. That means works on our part. And if you go before the king, what do? You usually take some type of gift. Some people might give Jesus a pickup truck. Some might give him a yacht. Some of them might give them real estate. Some of them might give them gold. all kinds of different things to give to Jesus, and that would be works. Now, Jesus made everything, so what does he need that for when he already owns it? But that would be works. So that is the principle, that salvation is through faith. Jesus had to do it this way. God had to do it this way. It had to be done that Jesus went to the cross as a lamb, as a sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world. There's a movie that has been released not too long ago, and it was shown here a few weeks ago, Risen. You remember the movie Risen? At the very end of the movie, where the Roman commanding officer, military officer, who was following Jesus and the disciples because he could not believe that man who died on the cross rose from the grave, but at the very end of the movie, one of the disciples said to him, "After seeing all of this, how can you not believe?" And I say, after hearing facts like these, how can a person not believe? Now, if Jesus is not the Son of God, then who does the Bible list as the Son of God? If Jesus is not the Savior of the world and went to the cross to die for our sins, then who does the Bible name as the Savior? So I would like to see that feller years ago who said to me, "The Bible is a fairy tale," because I'm cocked and loaded now. I would really like to see him, because God has given me exactly what I was looking for, to show that he is exactly who he says he is, and God knows what he is doing, people. The question is, do we know what we're doing?
Thank you, Brother Joe. That's challenging stuff, isn't it? And the kind of stuff that we need to know, and not only know, but act on it, because Brother Joe's right. We have the truth. We have the facts, if you will. And what do we do with them? That's the big question right now, isn't it? Do we act on the facts? Do we do what God has called us to do? So that's the question.